Let's pray, and then we'll jump into the Word. God, we love you. God, we worship your holy name. There is no one like you, God. God, thank you that you love this city. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. God, thank you that we can open up the Word of God. God, I ask that you would reveal yourself to us today. God, I ask that you would help me. God, you know I need help this morning. God, anoint me to speak this. God, in my weakness, I rest in the fact that you are strong. So, Father, help us to hear the Word of God. I ask that it would penetrate our souls. I ask that it would reveal the deep things of our hearts. And God, I ask that you would transform us to be the 72. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 All right. Well, I'm going to be in three passages today. I'm going to be in Hebrews. I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to be in Exodus 33. And this week I've heard the phrase face-to-face like three different times. And I'm like, what? I knew it was something. I'm like, you know when you hear something again and again and again, it's kind of like, okay, what is this? You know, I've been around long enough to know that if the same thing is happening again and again, it might be because God's trying to say something. You know, not always, but it's enough where it's like, okay, Lord, what are you saying? And so I've just been kind of thinking about face to face. What is that? And you know, as people, as humans, we long for intimacy. We long for connection. We long for relationship. I was, you know, and that's just how we are. And you know, Rachel was actually gone out of town for a couple days, and I was thinking about that in relationship to this. And, you know, it's great to talk on the phone. Sure, it's great to hear someone's voice. But you know what I'd much prefer? I'd rather talk to her face to face. I hate the phone, actually. It was really funny. When we were doing long distance, I could not stand talking on the phone. And it's actually a miracle that we're here because the phone's just tough, but I'd rather talk face to face. That's how we're created as humans. I wanted to be in her presence. So there's something about being in someone's presence that we long for. And the thing about being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ, Christianity is so much more than believing the right things. It starts there. It is about truth. Jesus himself says, I'm the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Christianity is about the truth. It really is. But there's more to it than that. It's not just about believing and thinking the right things, although that is part of it. There's so much more. Because being a follower of Jesus is about having a living relationship with the living God. It's about intimacy. And that was what was broken in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, that was destroyed. The intimacy that they had with God was absolutely shattered. So the plan of God was ultimately for restoration of that relationship. We sang about that this morning. You know, like, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. It's not that he would just show back and we get to go to heaven. And, you know, I always joke about this, but heaven's not about doing whatever you want. It's about Jesus. We say, even so, come, Jesus, come back, because we want to be with you. We want to be in your presence. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Restore the relationship. And the closer that we get in our, the more we mature in our walk with Jesus, the spiritual longing that we have for that grows and increases. This, I want to know Jesus. And there's this knowing him in this way here on earth, where we're communing with him, we're with him, we get to know him, we're spending time with him. But then there's this longing for heaven, because one day we'll actually see him face to face. We'll actually be with him. So this longing is like, this world doesn't matter anymore, because I just want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. And yeah, heaven's beautiful. Yeah, it's going to be great to, you know, not have to wake up to this, you know, like have a new body in it. But it's going to be about Jesus. We will be able to see him face to face and be in his presence. And you know, we worship and the word says, where two or three come together in my name, I'm with them. You know, like there's an element of the presence of God even here on earth. And it's beautiful. I love it when we experience the presence of God because he inhabits the praise of his people. That's why worship's so awesome. But oh, to be with him uninterrupted forever, long to see Jesus face to face. You know, there's a gentleman in the Old Testament by the name of Moses, one of the key figures in the Old Testament. And do you know what is incredible about Moses? Yeah, all the miracles that Moses did. I mean, God called him out of, saved his life, called him out of the wilderness and led the people of Israel right out of the promised land. I mean, God did so many miraculous things through Moses. But that's all great. But do you know what the greatest miracle, really, I believe was? Is his relationship with God. Have you ever thought about it before? God did all these incredible things through him, but his relationship with God. Deuteronomy 34:10 says this, "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Isn't that amazing? There's no one like him because he knew God face to face. Now, something you need to know is that face to face is actually not something that anyone is able to do. So when the Bible talks about face to face, it's actually talking about this communion with God that is so close and so intimate. And there's actually a time in the Bible where I'm going to mention the first part of it, but in Exodus 33, when Moses says, "Show me your glory." And God's like, "You know, if anyone sees my face, they'll die. But tell you what, I'm going to tuck you behind a rock. I'm going to pass by you. You can see the backside. That's all you can handle, Moses," even though Moses knew him face to face. So this is talking about the intimacy that God had with Moses, this incredible relationship that was there. So Exodus 33:11 says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend." Isn't that awesome? Do you long for that? Or is it good enough to just go to church? Beloved, there's so much more to this relationship, to this life of following Jesus. Because we are called into relationship, into intimacy, to a relationship that you speak to God. He's given us access to God. So I tell you what, the more I meditated on this, thought about it, I was like, man, Moses was so lucky. Not because of the miracles, but he got to talk to God face to face, like a man to a friend. Amazing. Amazing. It's absolutely incredible. I want to go to Hebrews 11 right now. And this is the chapter that talks a whole lot about faith. And it talks about Moses because Moses was a man of faith. So Hebrews 11, 23 through 28. And before I jump in, one thing you need to know is this, that it's not that God just chose Moses and just say, "I'm going to reveal myself to you. We're going to have a relationship, okay, Moses? Whether you like to or not, we're going to have a relationship. You're going to talk to me, I'm going to talk to you." That's how it is. No, there were choices that Moses made in faith. In faith, he made these decisions. And it was in this context that he had a relationship with God and an intimacy with God. So verse 23, this is Hebrews 11. Says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because he saw that the child was beautiful." That's what my mom thought when I was born too. I'm like, oh man. Sorry, I digress. "And they were not afraid of the king's edict." Verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." Wow. Verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amazing. So here is Moses refusing to be called Pharaoh's, being part of Pharaoh's family. He's like, it's amazing. So he was going to be a slave. His parents were slaves. And he chose that I'm going to refuse to be part of that family anymore because I am part of God's people. So he refused that right that he had. He was part of the family. He said, I'm not going to do that. So he chose to be mistreated so that he could be part of the people of God. Beloved, you need to know this, that in the time we're living in, there are many people who don't make that choice. They would rather be in than be associated with the people of God. I'll be part of the people of God at church. Maybe on Sunday I'll be part of the people of God. But throughout the week, when it would cost me something at work, I'm not with them. Under the radar, sure. We'll be Facebook buddies, but that's it. But here's Moses saying that he would rather be part of the family of God, even though they were mistreated, than be a part of that special treatment if I was over on that side in Pharaoh's family. So Moses was like, there's no choice here. I would rather enjoy the people of God and the presence of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. It's a no-brainer for Moses. So he walked away from his privilege, because that was where God was. And then it says that he considered the reproach of Christ a greater wealth than the treasure of Egypt. So think about this. He considered the reproach, like the pain, the sorrow, the suffering that comes with following Jesus as greater wealth than everything that Egypt had. Egypt had a lot. And beloved, you know this, in the U.S., we have a lot. The system of this world has a lot. And you can give yourself fully to it and enjoy it. You can enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. But beloved, we have a choice. You know, the scripture says that friendship with the world is hatred towards God. So Moses was saying, I would rather suffer the reproach of Christ than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures, all the wealth, all the riches that Egypt has to offer. Beloved, we have that same decision to make. Every day we have that same decision to make. What system are you going to bow down to? Who's going to be your friends? I'm not talking about relationships. I'm not talking about friendships. I'm talking about what system are you going to befriend? Because the darker we get in this society, it's going to become more and more difficult to be a follower of Jesus. Do you remember 2 months ago when it wasn't cool to be a Christian? Do you remember that? It's funny what a fire does. It softens everyone up a little bit. But I'm telling you, that's not going to last. It's not going to last. The world, the way it's going, it's going to get darker and it's going to be harder. So as the people of God, we have a choice. Do we count the reproach of Christ as blessing, or would we rather enjoy the system of the world and all its pleasures? There's a price to pay. So here's Moses making the choice. I'd rather be with the people of God. I'd rather have the reproach of Christ. That's of greater worth than me, than the comfort of this world. So I am choosing Jesus every time. I'm choosing God every time, regardless of the price, regardless of what it costs me. I'm choosing God. 1 Peter 4 says this, verse 13, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Do you think that way? Do you think that way? God's ways are not our ways. That's why he gives us a new mind and a new heart, that we get it. That's why he gives us the word of God, that we understand the ways of God. So kind of back to Moses. here's this man that knew God face to face, had a relationship with God like a man to a friend. He had access to God like that. But you need to know that that wasn't just something that happened. There was a choice that Moses made to be set apart for the work of God, to be set apart as God's servant. So he chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than be accepted, to suffer with Jesus as opposed to enjoying the world. I would rather have Jesus than everything this world has to offer. Give me Jesus. I would rather follow Jesus. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what. Amazing. You know, it's easy to read these things and get excited, but this is real life. This is real life. These are real challenges. And you know what? The blessing's just as good as it says, and so is the hardship. They're both real. So I want to share a little bit more of the story of Moses, and I have a lot of favorite passages in the Bible, but this is one of those passages that every time I read it, I'm like, oh, I love God. You know, just like, this is awesome. This is the story when God is so angry at the people of God because they've completely disobeyed them. So he's rescued them out of slavery, and they're just angry with them, frustrated with God. Bring us back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave and have something to eat than follow God and see the miraculous hand of God. Stupid Israelites. But it's real. This is real. So Exodus 33, the Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I'll give it to you." So God is saying, you go. Take the people into the promised land. I've promised your forefathers. You go. But verse 2 says, "I'll send an angel before you, and I will drive out all these different people. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." So God's saying, I've promised you the promised land. Go occupy the land. An angel's going to go before you with a big sword. None of the enemies are going to be able to stand against you. So here's the deal, Moses. Everything I promised, you're going to experience. You're going to experience the victory. You're going to overcome. You're going to enjoy the blessings of the land. But I'm not going with you. I'm going to send an angel. Now here's the deal. That sounds pretty good. But Moses is like, an angel? An angel? I want to skip down a few verses. Actually, verse 4, when the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments, for the Lord has said to Moses, "You're stiff-necked people." This was disastrous, that God would promise the victory without his presence. Do you see how this works? It's better to have the presence of God in hardship than have the lack of God in victory and in plenty. Rather have the presence of God. So anyway, it goes on. Verse 7 through 11 talks about how God would meet and act with Moses. That's where the verse says that he was talked to them face to face. And then verse 12 says, "Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people.' And then God said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' And he said to him," this is Moses back, "'if your presence will not go with me, don't bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not your going with us that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?'" Moses is saying, like, you have to go with us. If you don't go with us, we're not distinct. If your presence isn't with us, we're like everyone else. We need your presence. We need to know you face to face. If we lose that, what are we? We're lost. We're just like everyone else. We might as well be in Egypt. We're just like the Egyptians if you leave us. Sure, we might get a nice, shiny new home, but if the presence of God isn't with us, what's the point? So Moses is, God said, I'm not going with you. I'm so frustrated with you. And Moses is pleading, Lord, you have to go with us. You have to come with us, God. I'd rather have your presence than that promised land that I've been waiting for. So do you know what Moses chose? The desert with God as opposed to the promised land without him. And think about it. Moses didn't go into the promised land. He saw it from afar. He didn't even go into the promised land. But do you know what Moses had? Moses knew the Lord face to face. Do you think Moses, at the end of his life, was like, God, I didn't get to experience the promised land. No regrets. Why? He was living the promise. He knew God face to face. He had a relationship with the living God. And you know what? That was more important than anything else. I'd rather choose the desert with Jesus, with God, as opposed to the good life without him. Beloved, we make this decision every day. Are you going to follow Jesus and go through the valley of the shadow of death? Are you going to walk the narrow road that leads to life? Or are you going to walk the broad road and all this goodness that leads to destruction? Moses is like, this is a no-brainer. Of course I choose the narrow road, because that's where Jesus is. That's where the presence of God is. That's the place where we know God face to face. Amazing. Unbelievable. Do you know what's incredible? So it says of Moses that he knew God face to face. So when God says, my presence will go before you, do you know what that actually literally means in Hebrew? It says, my face will go with you. Isn't that awesome? My face will go with you. My presence will go with you. I will go with you. If you walk with me, I will go with you through the wilderness. That's why the wilderness, as hard as it is sometimes the most beautiful moments in life, because it is there that you see him face to face. Can I just tell you that I don't even know what day it is. It's been crazy, you know. Life's been really crazy. And I'm tired. I wish I could take a month off and go to Puerto Rico, but there's natural disasters there also. So I wish I could just run away, you know? Like, I am tired. But I tell you what, like, I would rather go through the fire to experience God how I have this last month and a half. Like, I wouldn't trade that for anything. I mean, if you talk to me anytime, you know, like, I cracked this baby open and I could talk for quite a while for all the things that God's happened in the last month and a half. You know, like, you don't pass that up for anything. Because even though it's hard to see and know Jesus, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. Why would you skip out on that blessing? I'd rather have Jesus in the wilderness than no hard times and no God. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. See, as a spiritual being, we are created for relationship with God. And right now we have a glimpse of it. We have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus has given us access to the Heavenly Father. When he died on the cross for our sins and paid the price, the veil was torn, and we had access into the presence of God. Jesus did that. So we get to experience that in part right now. But beloved, when heaven comes, there's nothing here on this earth that can compare. Do you know that even though Moses knew God face to face, it's nothing compared to what he's experiencing now in glory? Beloved, do you long for home? Do you long for home? I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love chapter. It's that chapter that says love is patient, love is kind. And every wedding says this. The way of love. But there's a verse in here that is absolutely beautiful. And it almost seems like it's out of place a little bit. But verse 8 says, love never ends. It's kind of concluding that bit on love. Says, as for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Verse 9, for we know in part and prophesy in part. It's saying, like, we know this much. Like, there's only a little bit. Verse 10, but when the perfect comes, like when God returns, when all the fullness is here, the partial will pass away. Then verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall be known fully, even as I've been fully known. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of like saying in the ancient days, a mirror isn't nearly as good as we have it now. Like, we wake up in the morning and we get the real deal. Like, it's amazing, right? We get to actually see what we look like. But back in the day, what they did for a mirror was they would take metal and they would polish it. And you'd look at it. And you'd have an idea of what you look like, but it was always distorted. Like, it was cloudy. It was a piece of metal. So you never got to really see clearly what you look like. So what this verse is saying is, like, now, do you know what our relationship with God is like? It's kind of like this foggy reflection where it's like, I think I can see. You know, I can see a little bit. Like, I know God's real. Like, I see God. I see him move. I know my relationship with God, but it's cloudy. But it's saying when everything is perfected, when Jesus returns, when we're in heaven with him, when it's all done, it says that we will know fully. That we know him face to face. Because we will be with him. We will be like him. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. 1 John 3:2 says this, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. For we will know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Is that awesome? Because we'll see him face to face. We'll see him face to face. We'll see God face to face. Amazing. Miguel, do you want to come up here? Beloved, the Christian walk is an invitation to know him. To walk with him, to live for him. And yes, that we would be about the truth, that we know the truth. That's what set us free, that we would believe the right things, that we would think clearly, that we would walk away from sin, that we would be set apart for the purpose of a God. Yes, 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 yes. But that we would know him. That we would have a relationship with God that is alive, that is real, and not fake. Guys, we can't afford to have a fake relationship with Jesus now. There is no salt and no light if your relationship with Jesus is boring and lifeless. No one wants any part of that. But I tell you what, when we are a people who know him, face to face, that's salty. And that is the light of the world. Because he's revealed in the relationship. You see that? Isn't it Jesus that said, remain in me and I'll remain in you? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you don't know him face to face, if you don't have that connection, that deep connection, that intimacy with him, you can't do anything. It all goes back to this relationship. It's in intimacy with God. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring the relationship with God, for making a way when there was no way. Beloved, we have access. There's now a highway to travel on. God has made a way. He's made a straight path through Jesus Christ. We're blessed. We are blessed. Regardless of what it costs us, we are blessed. I want to invite you to just sit on that and maybe take a moment. And maybe your response to this is, Jesus, I want to know you more. God, rekindle this relationship with you. Maybe you feel distant. Maybe you're like, God, we need to spend some time. It's been a while since we've actually spent some time, and I miss you. Maybe that's what you pray. God, I miss you. I remember a time where it's like I knew you face to face, and now we talk, but it's like we're on the phone. And you know what? I want to see you. I want to know you. Let's spend a moment just responding in prayer. What is God calling you deeper into? What do you need to repent of? Maybe you have been neglecting your relationship with God, and you need to say, God, I am sorry. I have neglected you. I've been chasing other things. Maybe it's, God, I'm so tired, I can't even think straight. I can't even think about this. So maybe your prayer is, God, give me strength. I want to be with you, but I don't know how. Thank you for loving us first. God, thank you that we can have access to the living God. God, deepen our relationship with you. May it be our joy in the morning and our last thought as we lay our heads down to sleep. To celebrate communion after this first song. The scripture invites us to examine our hearts. Examine the relationship. So as we move into this song of worship, I just ask that you would just say, God, test me. See if there's any offensive weight in me. Is there anything that's messing with the relationship? And deal with it. Confess it. Give it to God. Turn away. Come to Jesus. You can always come back to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Then we'll celebrate communion.